Christmas on BBC One. Tonight, Elizabeth Slayton stars in K9 and Company.
K9! What do you think it does?
Well, we could try asking it.
Chump. We'll be taking it for a walk next. Hey!
Mistress!
Don't muck about.
It wasn't me.
I spoke, Mistress.
What?
I am K9 Mark III.
Mysterious occurrences at Morton Harwood and suspicious circumstances cause concern for K9 and his new friends.
A dog! A dog belching fire! It got Peter! It got my son! I swear! I swear by Arionrod!
Hecate!
Bizarre happenings in K9 and Company, tonight at 5:45 on BBC One.
And we're back. It's Doctor Who, The Complete Menagerie.
Merry Christmas!
It's that festive time of year. The mistletoe comes out. Tom is choking. I'm going to do the Heimlich manoeuvre! He died, you know. Heimlich, inventor of the manoeuvre.
Welcome to The Complete Menagerie.
Hello, and welcome to Doctor Who, The Complete Menagerie.
Almost.
I'm feeling moist just saying these words.
We've just returned from the Bridge Inn.
Yeah, which is where Samuel Payne likes to imbibe his liquor and score.
We've taken it easy, though. We're relatively sober. Last year, I think we were three sheets to the wind, and we ended up having an incident with a pool cue in the bridge.
I think Samuel Payne was banned from the Bridge Inn.
I had to go back round to the Bridge Inn the following night to apologise for the broken pool cue, which was broken over the back of Greg James and then forcibly inserted.
They don't like it up them. That's well, all they, I remember well, Tom saying.
They did like it that night, but it was.
Well, we were quite giddy, weren't we?
Giddy?
We chatted to Jack Clapp, hadn't we?
We were riding high in the success of the podcast.
Yeah.
The year was a good one. It was 2015. It wasn't 2016. It was 2015. No.
Yes. It was before everybody died.
It was before everyone died and fuckwits got into power.
But we had predicted that.
We had, yeah.
We predicted the
President Trump.
The rise of Jeremy Corbyn.
Yeah.
The rise of Donald Trump.
I've gone off him. Corbyn. Oh, I've also gone off Donald Trump.
You've gone off Corbyn, because you was a bit of a Corbyn.
I was, yes, but since Brexit, as Sylvester McCoy would say, I've gone off him. I've recounted.
Why? Well,
because he's a plonker, isn't he? He really is. I may agree with some of his politics, but he's a bloody idiot.
What do Labour do? Because, many of the constituencies that voted for Brexit, and incidentally, people voted for Brexit. Not all 17 million of them are massive racists, I have to say.
16.9.
But so many of them were Labour constituencies. Labour heartlands voted for Brexit. Fucked. So, yeah. But the Labour Party's official position may not have been Jeremy Corbyn's official position, but then he doesn't really care about official positions if you start looking at Trident and things like that. We're very much against Brexit. They were very much pro-EU. So where does this leave the Labour Party?
I don't know. They're fucked. And good luck to them. But, you know, this is about Doctor Who. It's about the Bridge Inn. It's about a pull cue up the arse. It's about Christmas. Let's get festive.
Hooray!
It was a great moment leaving the pub when I was quite relieved we were stepping out the door. Nothing worse can come of this now. We're leaving the pub. This is following Tom shouting out in moments of silence between a terrible band, "You fucking shit!"
And then I don't think that really.
No, it did
really,
happen.
That
really?
Happened, Tom.
Like
that
yeah,
me? Yeah, were both
don't
there.
Deny it.
Maybe I'll write them an apology.
And as we left, there was a man stood outside the Bridge Inn smoking one of those very modern vapes.
Yes, I've seen
vaping
that.
Outside the pub. Yes. And as we walked past, he went, "This is a very local pub, Lewis. Yes, local pub.
For local people."
Right. And then Tom looked right in his face and goes, "Do you like bum sex?"
Well, I don't remember that. But,
I assure you, hand on the sacred heart.
I recently took Tom to a curry house in my local constituency, which is Michael Fallon's local constituency. And as we were being seated at the table, Tom said to the young waiter,
"Do you serve food here?"
and then we left with you were asking them who their favourite James Bond was,
yes.
And one of them vouchsafed that it was Pierce Brosnan.
Yes.
And your sense of indignation.
Well, it was appalling. I felt like not paying the bill. We'd already paid and left a tip, but I think I would have rescinded that if possible. I mean, Pierce Brosnan, the very idea that Pierce Brosnan could be an Indian curry house's favourite James Bond.
He's quite clearly the worst Bond.
He is.
We actually surmised that, didn't we, on the Christmas special last year?
Yeah.
We're not talking about James Bond this year, though.
No.
I saw Roger Moore more recently, though. I did. I went to see Roger Moore's one-man show.
More on tour.
How was it?
It was very good. He wheeled out his usual gag about Grace Jones. You know?
Yeah.
Someone asked him if what was she like? As my mother always used to say, if you don't have anything nice to say about anybody, don't say anything at all. Next question.
Yes,
but one guy asked a question in the audience and he got a round of applause. He put his hand up and said, Sir Roger, I'm dating a Russian chick next week, but I don't know if I can trust her. Do you have any advice? And that got a round of applause, and Sir Roger said, check her knickers for listening devices.
Yes. He's still got it.
It was a very great pleasure to see the old boy.
He hasn't died yet.
No, he's not dead
not
yet.
Not like everyone else in 2016, including Ian McCaskill. We'll get to later.
We have a roll call of the dead that we're going to go.
Weatherman, famous weatherman. And then he played Richard III, didn't he, on
he
the film?
He did, yes. Yeah. Very good, actually, yes. Now he's a Winter of Arc discount. No, that's not his voice, I apologise.
But before we actually press on with the podcast, we have our customary Gistelein. And the last one of the year, Greg, it's yays.
Gistelein.
Date night.
Okay. I have to say, it's absolutely true that the inventor of the Heimlich manoeuvre has died.
Did he choke?
He choked to death. On a sprout. A Brussels sprout.
How festive.
The thing is...
Back off Brussels.
So many... Exactly. Yes, we've had Brexit now.
I'm banning sprouts. No.
People like sprouts now with that bacon rind, don't they? Oh, but bacon rind is... It's very good for choking people, bacon rind.
Yeah. I thought I'd reclaim the sprout the other week, and I said I bought some at the Sainsbury's. I bought a whole, I think 2 kilos of sprouts by accident.
2 kilos!
Too small and dry.
Yeah, the sprouts. Let's get the sprouts on the go. So I thought I'd do some roast sprouts. You know how we try to reclaim the sprout by not boiling it within an inch of its life?
I love sprouts.
I quite like them. So I roast the sprouts. Didn't have any balsamic vinegar, so I used soya sauce. But it wasn't really enough to have just sprouts on their own. So I said to Ruth, you know, we've got to have something else. Oh, what about a curry? She didn't know about the sprout idea.
Right.
So we had chicken curry and roast sprouts. It was a whiffy place for a few days I had.
I'm sure it's the same in Peter Davison and Sandra Dickinson's house.
Yes, yes. Farts aplenty. Well, Trumps aplenty. Yes.
Yeah, Trumps.
We're in a post-Trump era. So, Greg, what's your line?
The line is, and you can tell me, what is this a quote from, and also which Doctor Who story is it in? Christmas won't be Christmas without any presents, grumbled Joe, lying on the rug.
Well, that sounds erotic.
Is that from a Target novelisation?
Is it?
No, it's genuinely from a Doctor Who story.
What, from an episode of Doctor Who?
Yeah,
what?
Christmas won't be Christmas without any presents, grumbled Joe.
Yeah, but grumbled Joe...
Lying on the rug.
It's being narrated like Terence Dix would write.
It's being narrated. Right. It's a work of...
It's a work of literature, though, isn't it?
The word Joe is bamboozling you, I think.
Is it The Brothers Karamazov by...
Forget Joe. It's nothing to do with Katie Manning at all. Christmas won't be Christmas without any presents, grumbled Joe, lying on the rug. It's a work of fiction.
Oh, that's in Dickens, isn't it? That's from... No. Oh, Little Women.
Little Women. It's the opening line of Little Women.
Yes. And who reads it? I don't know. Tom Baker? He's the sort of...
By Louisa May Alcott.
That's right, yeah.
And it features in a Doctor Who story.
Oh, does it? I don't know about that.
No idea.
In the Land of Fiction.
Oh, The Mind Robber. Yes. Marvelous. Well, you did a few rather heavy hints there.
It's a good one.
It's a good one, though, yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah, Fox does. Sam's face is a bland egg.
The Line of Friction.
It's actually made me quite angry and not on board with this podcast.
Do you know that bit where Fraser Hines, played by Jamie, climbs in through the window?
And you see his testicles.
That's the quote that's coming out
on the ticker tape.
On the ticker tape.
Crumbs, Greg,
Christmas.
You are a genius. A wild, very good. A crazy guy, but a genius. Very good.
He does his homework.
Samuel Payne,
I'm so gay, I can't tell you.
Yes, that's irrelevant. but Samuel Payne's kind, open, honest face, like Devo, has turned into a green face of envy, like Syl.
There's a lot of similarities between Samuel Payne and Devo.
Yes, I think so. Yeah. He's the Devo of the group. I think so.
My friends around the corner, they have a lovely little boy called Daniel, and he loves Doctor Who and everything else, and I go around occasionally, and he's like, Sam's here. So they've moved house now, and they're watching Robot, Doctor Who,
Doctor Who, the giant robot.
And Daniel went up to the screen and went, Sam. And stroked Tom Baker's face.
Oh, God.
I'm very proud, because I look nothing like Tom Baker.
Well, funnily enough, I have a new job. You know, I think I mentioned
you
that
turn
I was
tricks
on my
old,
up as not as crappy, but I have a new job that I'm enjoying. And I have to say, I bought myself, with my first paycheck with this new job, I bought myself a burgundy cord jacket, this pair of slacks that I'm wearing, and a pair of brogues. And I was wearing this outfit, and I distinctly remember leaving the office room, and I overheard my boss's boss, right, okay, so she's like a big deal as far as I'm concerned.
He's a big cheese.
Saying, does he look like Tom Baker? And, you know, I hadn't bought the outfit thinking I looked very season 12, but the fact that she picked up on it, I was like, obviously subliminally, in my mind's eye, in my conscience.
Was her bosom tingling?
Well, I wouldn't like to vouchsafe whether it was or not, but it was the fact that she thought I looked like Tom Baker. Mm.
Sadly, I put on weight recently. People walk down the street, Colin, you permed bastard.
Have I told you that story once? I was walking down when I was a student. I thought this is quite good because this is before Doctor Who came back on the air. And they knew I was a Doctor Who fan. I was with two of my friends. And there was a lovely girl walking up the street on Albion Street. She had a very long scarf. And I said, oh, God, she looks gorgeous. My colleague said, oh, gosh, look. Sam's liking her. It's Doctor Who with tits. And quick as a flash, my friend said, what, Colin Baker? And I thought, for someone who doesn't watch Doctor Who, and that genuinely happened. I'm very proud of that moment. We've got the situation. We're going to have to wrap up this podcast because a good friend...
now? What?
They've only just started listening. They want the money back.
We can't just stop now.
We haven't even talked about Doctor Who yet. We've not exchanged gifts.
Well, basically, we're going to be meeting up with one of our listeners this evening. It's not you, I'm afraid, but we will be meeting up with someone called Dan tonight. He's a good friend of mine.
What if they want a prize or something? I don't want to meet our listeners. No. The great unwashed.
No.
It was a competition from season
the
one.
The nerds.
they've decided to join us.
They've decided. They haven't been invited. I didn't know about this. Only just literally listeners found out about this. Don't. Write in and say, can you come and meet us in the Bridge Inn?
Tom isn't happy about it.
Well,
because, you know, we don't like to include extra people. You know, with Buddy Windrush, it was an absolute disaster.
Although I think we should get Buddy Windrush back.
Because
when he's back, he's the stooge and you become more powerful.
Life is easier on me when Buddy Windrush is in the room.
Yes, exactly.
We need Buddy Windrush's point of view.
If you're listening, Buddy Windrush, come back. Please come in our ears.
Come back,
because
Buddy,
we love you.
We're meeting up with one of our listeners tonight for a drink in the Black Bull.
This precedent. Oh, right, okay. So
and Greg's a big fan of this person because he approached you, Greg, didn't he? Outside.
Yeah. He befriended me on the Facebook. I don't know if any of you ever heard of the Facebook, but it's this social media
site.
You can put pictures of yourself. It's a bit like my face, yes. And you put pictures of yourself and songs that you're singing. And people can either like this shit or, and so on and so forth.
Or they can defriend you.
Yeah,
I'll do that.
Let's talk about Lesbian Gate. Let's get on to that.
No, let's not.
Sam Payne's face there.
So hold on, there's a chap coming that you know on Facebook or something.
Well, yeah, we met on Facebook, and he was a friend of Sam's.
So mate, the main thing to remember, listeners, is you're listening to this thinking, oh, I could meet the menagerie. Well, bugger off. They can't.
This is an exclusive moment for Dan. So, and Dan has been very supportive.
Unless you're young and male and hot. Yes, in which case, true, drop me a line.
the usual address.
Which is London, Wood Lane.
It's Christmas, isn't it? It's Christmas.
It's Christmas, and what do we traditionally do at Christmas?
Well, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without any presents, grumbled Joe, lying on the rug.
So let's spread some wealth. There's some presents there for you, gentlemen.
Let me just preface this. Now, last year I got Christmas presents for you guys. I spent a lot of time thinking about it. I got you both a record, I believe.
Yes.
Because the previous
year,
that's it. The previous year,
Moonraker.
I got bugger all. I felt really awkward. This year, I've gone back to the sort of feeling awkward and bugger all because I haven't got anything. There we are.
But
thank
not.
You. Well, thank,
but I
thank you, Tom.
Comestibles.
Hey!
There we are. So let's just start with the comestibles.
Fromage.
I thought, let's get something that will really bung us up. So I've got some dates, soft and sticky dates.
Ah, good, Christmas. Good.
I've opened them, had one, not very nice. And some horrible marzipan that someone. They're called a Pagale Marzipan Collection. Well, they're pretty good.
Get them open, Tom.
I think the sell-by date was several months ago.
Well,
I'll open these while
you
while
open
the
those,
are...
and then we'll.
I have cards for you.
Thanks.
I have to say, these two guys—they're my favourite cunts. Out of all the cunts in the world.
Well, here we go.
These are the cunts I love the most.
Of all the cunts in all the world, I had to do a podcast with you two cunts. wishing you all a very merry Crowdmas, as in Crowden. We all love Crowden. The spiffing 2017. Oh, lovely. And there's Crowden. Look at him. Look at him with this. Almost dead face. he can't have had long, can he?
My dreams of conquest!
Check out the back.
Ah, Ceausescu, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yeah.
We love Ceausescu on this podcast.
Ceausescu.
I've got a lovely card here, which is Colin Baker, backlit in 1984, staring down the camera, saying, Merry Christmas, Samuel! Exclamation mark.
Thank you, but no, thank you.
Dear Samuel, wishing you a season 7 this Christmas and a season, what's that say? Season 12 of 2017.
A season 7 of a Christmas and a season 12 of a new year.
Much love, Greg, Philip and Kayla. Oh, thank you so much. And on the back, there's a picture of Roger Moore pickled in 1985 saying, I don't have it, you don't have it, that's détente.
Well, we got that from Jack Clapp.
Whilst Greg gets the other presents, I'm going to hand round the disgusting marzipan.
Yes, let's have one.
Have one of these and really regret it.
Where are these from? Pangler?
I think probably Lidl.
Well, let's have them and enjoy them whilst we can, after Brexit. We're not going to enjoy marzipan.
Oh, horrible. Mm. Oh, quite vile. Rich
Not so keen.
No. God, they're awful.
Would you like to dip into your presents? So, those are yours. Greg, yours are the ones on the other side.
There's a Star Wars presents, themed.
Thank you.
You have to open them in a particular order.
Okay. There's one attached to the other.
So that you don't think I hate you.
Oh, Greg.
Ah, Roger Moore and the Crime Fighters. Death in Denims. And there's a picture of Sylvester McCoy there.
There
the
is.
Yeah,
I would like you to flick to the page which I've earmarked and read the first paragraph on that page, which is so bizarre.
I still don't know, answered Bill angrily, because just before we got there, he doubled down a side road, and I lost him. They had now reached the police station. What about Dalek? asked Darren.
Exterminate!
There's a character called Dalek in a Roger Moore novel.
Of course there is,
Roger Moore and the Crime Fighters... Death in Denims by Dulcie Gray.
So there you go.
Dulcie Gray, wasn't she the woman in Doctor Who?
She mentioned the word Dalek.
Oh, Dolores Gray. That's what I was thinking of. Dolores Gray. Mine says, this is from Samuel Payne. It says, Gah! Merry Winterval. Hail Corbin. Death and Destruction. Love, Samuel Payne. Oh, it's a copy of Doctor Who and the Crusaders by Derek Whittaker. Based on the successful BBC television series.
Well, I've got Doctor Who. In an exciting adventure with the Daleks. These have been republished. These are lovely, aren't they?
It's got a picture of a very mad crusader on the front shortly before he stabbed a Muslim. just for not believing in Christendom.
Well, these are beautiful little things.
We all remember the
I think they're both very readable
nice.
Books.
Thank you.
Hardback. Well, I've got the Crusades at home in my bookshelf. I was glancing at it earlier, so
and
I'm glad you didn't give me that
If you like this title, there's also Doctor Who in an Exciting Adventure with the Daleks by David Whittaker, and also Doctor Who and the Zabi. by Bill and his Strutton.
Well, that's very kind of you, Sam. I'm very struggling kind, at the moment, struggling through Thomas Mann at the moment.
Ooh, oh, yeah. Which
the
one?
Magic Mountain.
Death is Venice. Oh, no.
Brums, it's hard work. So if I have a little break with a bit of Doctor Who, might be.
I've got a gift here from Greg. It's in bubble wrap. I think it reminds me of the Ark in Space already.
It's very erotic.
Oh! It's a beer mat that says Doctor Who number 6 Colin Baker, Porn Colin.
But he on divers occasions has been guilty of conduct unbecoming a Time Lord.
Not guilty!
It's a bare-chested Colin. Well, that's going to go on the table there and under the pint. Thank you so much.
I've got a lovely bear. A lovely autobiography of Tom Baker called Climbing the Bookshelves, Ghost Written by Shirley Williams.
Is it not Who on Earth is Tom Baker? I thought it was.
Oh, well, you seem to have bought the wrong book. I know he looks like Shirley Williams, and my hair... This is probably the same book that I was glancing at in Waterstones when I realised my hair was very much like Shirley Williams and I had to get it cut, so thank you for that. Actually, I might enjoy that. She's a completely batty old fruit, but... A bit like Tom Baker, I suppose.
Another gift for you,
Tom. Oh, how embarrassing. I've got no gifts for you lot. Well, have a date.
Another gift for you, sir.
That's a big one there, Greg. Oh.
And also, Tom, this isn't for you, this is for your children.
Okay, well, I shall put that under the Christmas tree, if that's all right. Yeah. Look at that.
From Samuel Payne.
An original Private Eye with Ceausescu on the cover. Prince Philip saying, does he have any hobbies? And someone saying, he's a mass murderer. And the Queen saying, how very interesting. From 1989. Well, 1990. Oh, well, go to Twitter, chaps, and when this episode comes out, and we'll tweet the photographs of all these lovely presents, lovely gift box. Now, I better have a date, I suppose.
Thank you for my coaster of Colin. I've got to open this huge box.
Oh, there's another one.
I rewrote one of the Christmas carols.
Right.
Slightly.
There we go on.
To make it slightly more topical. It goes like this. Ceausescu a Merry Christmas. Ceausescu a Merry Christmas.
Terribly relevant.
Ceausescu a Merry Christmas. And wait, no, they shot him.
What's this?
Is it this? Battle for the Universe?
What? Doctor Who?
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
In an exciting video game.
Wow. It's the greatest hits of the Pertwee era. That is beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? Look at that.
The Drashrigs is awful. it was awful in the show, though, wasn't it?
So I quite like the Drashrigs. Okay,
dreadful. Yeah. I've had a date and I'm sort of slightly gummed up now.
I couldn't get you that...
Oh, thank you so much, Greg. That's lovely.
I couldn't just get you that, the Colin Baker.
Because here's my little claim to fame, is that the Omega Mask, which appears in Doctor Who and the Ark of Infinity documentary...
Very true.
...is the mask which I built. Which is actually in Doctor Who.
Samuel Payne's name is on the credits of a Doctor Who DVD, so Samuel Payne is canon.
He is famous.
Canonical.
He's the Ian Levine of the podcast.
It's a very erotic coaster, though, isn't it? You'd be the envy of all your friends.
Just get a photo of that.
Right.
Lovely. Well, that's all that over with.
Well, Merry Christmas. Thanks a lot.
Merry Christmas, readers and listeners. Yes, another year's gone by.
And a Merry Christmas to all of you at home. I think we have to say that, don't we? Because William Harkin said
it. Contractual, yeah.
In that Doctor Who story what was the name of that Doctor Who story where the Daleks had a master plan? I can't remember what it was called.
Oh,
no idea.
Anyway, it escapes my mind.
It's the Feast of Stevenage.
Was it?
Yes, that's the one. We're going straight into the guts of our podcast now, and we're talking about the most festive Doctor Who story that was ever made in a time-space visualizer.
Oh, yes.
It's Doctor Who, K-9
and
Company.
It's a time-space visualizer.
Here we are. We're talking about the first Doctor Who spin-off, the first big one. And it's set at Christmas 1981.
Well, you see, I remember Christmas 1981. I think my family had just moved house.
You don't remember Christmas 1981. You were three.
Yeah, just about, because my family moved house in 1983. And sorry, 1981. And I remember moving house. I remember, the packing up of the old house and moving to the new house.
Regenerating into Peter Davison.
Yeah. Well, it was around about the time that Peter Davison first... I mean, Peter Davison is the first Doctor Who I remember.
Yes.
I remember him in...
He was in All Creatures Warriors Great and Sea. Small, I believe.
He was, yeah, and also Sink and Swim, which is now available on DVD.
Tell us about K-9 and Company. Great.
Well, K-9 had been a popular companion in the 1970s era.
Had he? Had he been popular?
He was popular with young children.
And idiots.
And Liberal Democrats.
Like Shirley Williams. You carry on, I'll look up, see if she mentions K9. Keep going.
So basically, this was Russell T. Davies' first attempt to have a Doctor Who spin-off. He was the producer of Doctor Who at the time in 1981.
She doesn't mention Doctor Who at all in the book, but she mentions Telford Dudley, who could have been related to Terence Dudley. But there we are.
Does she mention Ceausescu?
I'll have a look. Keep going.
See, the interesting thing is, because Tom and I are doing a show, actually, about Ceausescu.
Oh, should we have a little break in the podcast and have a little Greg segment?
Yeah, let's
What's this segment called, sir?
Greg's Eggs.
Greg's Sector.
Greg.
They have an inalienable right to be gay.
Well, you see, Tom and I are writing this show. It's a bit like Morecambe and Wise, the show what we wrote. Probably most of our regular listeners are thinking, why the hell do they talk about Ceausescu in every episode? Well, the reason is that Tom and I are completely obsessed with Nicolae Ceausescu and Elena Ceausescu and are writing a show about Nicolae and Elena Ceausescu and about their deaths. Now, because, of course, they were shot on Christmas Day 1989. Mm. So our show is not particularly going to be about that. It's going to be about Tom and Greg attempting to put on a show about the Ceausescus on the West End.
It's all very meta.
Where Jeremy Irons is going to play Ceausescu. Mm. So we're writing this show. It's funny. It's got jokes in it. And
it'll probably be under a fiver.
Yeah.
For a ticket.
So it'll
be
quite
on in
cheap.
May 2017.
So if you're in the Leeds area in May 2017, you fancy coming and seeing a show about...
And meeting us.
Yeah, a meeting Tom and Greg. And Sam will probably be there because he might support us. And he's going to design us a beautiful poster that's going to have Jeremy Irons on it, saying possibly starring Jeremy Irons.
So Ceausescu the Musical, I think it'll be called. Well, we haven't quite decided on the title yet.
We'll be tweeting this out. But this follows up from our Burke the Musical, doesn't it?
Yeah, we wrote a musical about Michael Burke that had a huge West End failure. And hardly anyone came to see it, but it was it
critical
sold out.
Disacclaim.
It was ignored by the critics, and those that did see it hated it. But they were morons. And
it received five stars from Entertainment Folks.
It did. Yeah. Yes. It was a good wheeze, and so we thought we'd do another.
Ian McCaskill has died since.
Anyway, so Ceausescu the show will be coming soon.
Yeah. So stay tuned, as John Nathan Turner would say.
Let's go back to K9.
But also, Samuel Payne and I have written a little piece, haven't we, about the death of Leonard Rossiter. So some of you might be listening. I mean, it's more of a straight piece, isn't it? It's like it almost takes place in real time. It's a bit like the show 24. I don't know if you remember that, but Donald Sutherland was in it, and he used to run around a lot,
yes.
And you know, everything used to happen in real time. It's like real time for the last hour of Leonard Rossiter's life, where, if you don't know, Leonard Rossiter died playing Inspector Truscott in Loot backstage at the Lyric Theatre in October of 1984. Mm. Do you know, listener, do you know who originated the part of Inspector Truscott
in
Joe Morton's Loot?
Listener, do you know?
Kenneth Williams,
yeah.
So and he was in. He was actually not so much in the audience, but he did actually speak about it in his diaries.
So it was a bit of a failure for Kenneth Williams, wasn't it? It more or less ended Kenneth Williams' straight acting career, if you can call it that.
But you've written a show about it. That's not being produced anywhere, is it?
No, it isn't.
But if you're listening and you want to produce it.
Yeah. So we've written this for radio.
It's for radio.
More than for... It would work as a sort
podcast,
of a two-man show for theatre.
Yeah, but
if any of our listeners are radio producers and fancy working with Sam and I on a show about the death of Leonard Rossiter that also involves Kenneth Williams, if you're a fan of either of those actors, or, you know, if you just want to...
Meet us.
Yeah.
Butter us up.
Bang us an email.
Get in touch. Yeah. Tweet us at DW Menagerie.
That's the end of that. Sorry.
Or email us.
Let's go back from Greg to K9 and Company.
K9 and Company.
Before we even get into the story, there's a more important thing we have to address.
What's that?
It's the title sequence.
It's bloody brilliant.
Shall we just sit back and watch it once more?
Okay. Well, I thought we could watch it and I might narrate it. Is that right?
Watch
that right?
It in live.
Live action. Because it is one of the finest pieces of television I've seen for a good long year. It's wonderful. It's certainly 1,000 times better than the subsequent episode. Let's watch it. Okay, it starts with the canine appearing in computer graphics. And in real time, he is K9. He's a dog. K9 and company.
It's so far so good.
Yeah.
And there's Sarah Jane Smith. Yeah. She's reading The Guardian. She's a lefty. She's looking rather perturbed, like a zombie.
There's, the camera hole's just slightly too long.
There's K9 as well. His penis comes out of his nose.
The voice of John Neeson.
And there's Sarah Jane typing away and drinking a glass of wine.
White wine.
Wonderful, jeez. Wonderful. Here's K9 again on a wall, I think. His vulva is coming out.
To see his wheels.
And there's K9. There's Sarah with her nipples. Sarah, you see her nipples.
Sarah jogging.
Jogging along with her nipples.
K9 on a wall.
Driving a Ford Fiesta or something like that.
Oh, it's a Metro.
It's like a Metro. Yeah. Looking a bit perturbed by a car. Put the Guardian down. Drink the wine. Nipples. Car.
It's almost like they want
looked
to
aside.
Hodge
K9. Looked aside. Back in the Fiesta. Metro, I mean. And off she goes, A Girl's Best Friend by Terrence Dudley. I love the part of that where it just sort of shows you flashes of the preceding.
It's basically using Hitchcock's jump cut sequence.
It's wonderful.
It's all the things, you know, when they have the jump cuts in all the Hitchcock movies where there's moments of horror. That's what we get in the title sequence for K9 and Company. I love the fact we've not even got onto the music yet. But talking about the
later.
Visuals.
It's by Ian Levine.
Talented man.
It's worth the price of the DVD alone. But for that title sequence, oh, it started.
More exciting than an episode of Bergerac.
It does have that Bergerac look about it, and it's what I watched that about
bonkers.
Four times. It's just brilliant.
The thing is,
what are they trying to convey with that?
Well, because
it's
she's
adventure,
a
she's a journalist.
She's a journalist. She reads travels. The Guardian. She's left wing. She's not only she's a journalist. She works. She types, but she's pissed. She's a drunk. She looks pensive. She looks sexy.
She's sitting outside a pub, but she's still meeting her deadline. She's a bit like Christopher Hitchens.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. She's the female Hitchens.
Traditionally, you'd have that cross cut like heart to heart, cross cut with the man, but it's cross cut with a robot dog. So it's like I'll go jogging, but there's the dog on the run as well. You know. I'll sit on a wall. Here's the dog plonked on a wall.
Yes. It's wonderful.
And it starts with really good intentions. You know, the animation where it's got the...
Yes.
It's actually animated over the schematics
the first
of K9.
The 2 seconds of K9.
Quite impressive.
It's not too bad.
Well,
yeah.
I think the first 30 seconds are bloody wonderful. And I just think, what a Christmas gift to all you listeners out there. But a K9 income.
So what is the story that we get after that?
Who's going to tell the story? Greg, do you want to tell the story?
I can't remember it.
Well, shall I give it a go?
Give it a go.
Okay, right, I'll give it a go. Right. So we open and we have got this old lady called Lavinia talking to a sexy lady in her 40s.
Oh,
she's a bit sexy.
Probably a lesbian, though.
She's got her lipstick sort of goes up nearly to her nose, down to her chin. It's sort of like slapped on like a sexy lady would have. You know,
in 1981.
It's very romantic, but this is 1981.
Yeah, the sort of time where lipstick, I always sort of went on your lips, but for her it's like... Just anywhere on the face, it doesn't matter.
She's wearing a fancy jumper that your nan would wear.
She is, and they're having a conversation. And this is where, I mean, you know, I'm no dramatist. I've only written one West End show, but but just to sort of...
Burke the Musical.
Look us up. So I find it very strange that we go from a great opening sequence about Sarah Jane Smith. This is about Sarah Jane. This is about K9. To some sort of people talking in a room. Like, it takes you a while to work out what the relationship is. It just seems a very odd thing to do. I just don't know why they do it. And obviously, it's Sarah Jane's anthem. Yeah, sort of comes along. But just... Actually, no, that beg your pardon. Before that, there's a whole sort of Inspector Morse devil episode, isn't there?
That's right.
Yeah, so there's that. And then there's the two women. It seems interminably long before we actually get to Sarah Jane Smith or K9.
Are we happy, though, to see Lalla Ward reprising her part?
So, no, I beg your pardon. Listeners, Buddy Windrush is shouting into his into the ether. Actually, he doesn't listen anymore, does he? We've just established that.
Buddy Windrush has left us in the ether.
Yes, apparently he doesn't listen. So if you're listening now,
he's
Buddy Windrush...
He's gone to eSpace.
It's nice to hear from you. But in fact, we wanted to get Buddy Windrush on the podcast, but he's in Jamaica.
He is.
He couldn't
he's
appear.
He's supping ting as we speak.
Back to these devil worshippers. So they're worshipping the devil. Then, you know, that's all fun and games. Then we go to Lavinia and... And it all becomes rather clear that when Sarah Jane Smith arrives, that her Aunt Lavinia, who is played by a shoe...
Fanny Cranach.
Fanny Cranach has gone missing. There's a bit of a derring do there. And I say derring do every time I describe Doctor Who, because that's all it is, derring do. So the story hinges on Sarah Jane Smith coming to this village of the Brexiters. That's what it should be called, the village of the Brexiteers. and sort of getting to the bottom of why all these c***s are kind of bumping people off. And,
because Michael Gove has a big rubbery fish face.
He does. That's irrelevant. So she's got a young ward played by Ed Miliband. A young Ed Miliband.
I want to get on to Brendan later.
But less sexually attractive.
Yes.
An interesting character.
Well, she's looking after him as well. She's got this massive house that people keep coming and going in. Yeah. It seems very unpleasant.
The phone rings a lot.
People come and go. I mean, there's a lot of action in the first 20 minutes of people just coming into the house unannounced, a big fat bloke. What's that fat bloke been in?
Is it Colin Yavins?
The chappy who was...
Yes, I think he was in something like Children of the Stones.
If it's Colin Yavins you're talking about, he was Inspector Lestrade Jeremy Brett's
That's
Sherlock
why
Holmes.
I've seen him. Yeah, he's very good. He's a very, very,
very
good
fine actor.
Actor.
Jewish.
His dates are repeating
still
on
alive.
Me.
Still alive.
Excuse me.
Oh, God, I've just said that Colin Javins is still alive. He'll be dead.
He'll be dead within the next 2 days when this is out. So, yes, it's a devil worship episode, but it's only 50 minutes, only the equivalent of two episodes of Doctor Who, isn't it? So there's not much plot. It's just that there's some devil worshippers. Aunt Lavinia's gone missing. Sarah Jane Smith's got to find him. She's got a sort of an annoying Ed Miliband sort of sidekick. She's also got K-9 in a box, who is entirely useless, as usual. And which is a bit Hot Fuzz. We've all seen that. It's a bit like that. And
but without Billy Whitelaw,
she's got to find out. Yes.
Or Timothy Dalton.
Yes, without Timothy Dalton, she's going to work out what the whole thing is, and she does it with aplomb. And basically, they're all just Brexiteers. And,
she does it with aplomb.
I mean, yes, only if you ask nicely. So yes, that's pretty much the plot. There isn't much plot.
It's basically the Wicker Man done Terence Dudley style with a robot dog.
If the Wicker Man was a story for The Guardian, which Louise Jameson is reading in the opening credits, then K-9 and Company is like a story for the local rag, isn't it?
I mean, it's just a bit like low rent.
Yeah, lower your expectations.
I wasn't sure if Brendan came before Matthew Waterhouse, not in John Nathan Turner's flat. I mean, in terms of casting, because they're almost identical.
Have you ever had two in you?
Hey, Neo, tell us about Brendan. What is it about Brendan you want to say?
Brendan has the best laugh ever committed into a drama.
No, it's awful.
K-9, Mark 3.
Affirmative. K-9.
Brendan, stop honking. Stop honking.
I did laugh.
Someone machine gunning a whale.
That's because it's in the script, is it? It's sort of meant to be
goofy.
A bit gauche, isn't it?
A bit goofy.
I just couldn't get Ed Miliband out of my mind.
Yeah. Ed Miliband.
Exactly how he would be, with Ed Miliband, a sort of a specky twat.
The Labour Party should have got David Miliband in, I think. We wouldn't be in this mess.
He would have been better, but he's played by an actor called Ian Sears, who hasn't really done much since. But he's actually won a BAFTA for editing. He lives in LA now, Greg.
Really?
Does he really?
Yeah, so you might be able to meet him. He's actually a very successful film editor.
Maybe. I've been to LA. Maybe I'll go sometime in the future.
So Ed Miliband is played by a famous film editor. Well, he That's wasn't right. a terribly good actor, was he, bless him? He was all right.
He was only about 16. He's one could be a bit judgmental. He was only quite young.
True, but it was the character more than that, really, that was at fault. It was like, why have him in? He was just unnecessary.
But obviously, he's the companion to Sarah Jane, who's now the Doctor.
Yeah, true.
And
yeah.
I was interested in, actually, as soon as she appeared, she was wearing very dark ruby-red robes, very much like Tom in 1981.
Baker. Yes, in
so Megalos. She's playing a Tom Baker, and obviously the young companion would be a male.
Yeah. I mean, she is great. I mean, there's nothing. She can't put a foot wrong. You know, this isn't a terribly thrilling adventure. Really, is it?
It doesn't show her in the best light, does it?
No, but what I mean is she gets away with it because she's so lovely and great.
Do you think her acting's any good, though, Tom? I think it's a bit patchy.
Do you not think? I think it's fine.
I think you're on the wrong foot just from the opening title sequence, and then
you got
this really turgid script from Terence Dudley.
Yeah, the script isn't great, but my point is that old Sarah Jane, Elizabeth Slade, is just lovely and wonderful, and I just
She's lovely. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
She's given a pile of steaming turds to work with, but that's
She polishes it within an inch of its life.
She really does. Yeah.
I think she works the script as best she can.
And I love a devil. I'm getting the feeling that you two didn't like this. I think it's fine. I quite liked it.
I think it's. I like a devil episode.
But I like a devil episode. I like the devil episode of Inspector Morse. I like the devil. There's always a devil episode, isn't there?
Is it Masonic Mysteries?
Possibly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the best episode.
Yeah. They're all great.
There was an abundance of devil worship episode in the 70s, though. Like. Children of the Stones, yeah. Things like that. By the time 1981 had come around, I think people had grown a bit tired of the cult in the village thing.
The Devil Rides Out. Yes. Yeah, Hammer Horror. You know, that was 1968.
And they did one in that TV series, Doctor Who.
But it kind of writes itself.
Every other episode.
Yeah. It writes itself. Yeah. You know, village with devil worshippers. You know, 10 minutes later, you've written a 50-minute script.
British villagers, and you think they're all... nice church-going Christians, but no!
They're all bastards. They're all Brexit voters.
Hecate, yeah. Hecate.
I thought they were saying handkerchief at the start. Handkerchief. It's like someone's got a cold.
Here's the central thing, and this is the question I wanted to ask. Did K-9 have to come back? And was it a vehicle that was actually necessary?
He is a vehicle in himself.
What could they do with K-9, though? How do you make a show around a robot dog?
Why did they bring him back?
Because JNT had... kicked him off the show because they didn't want him, but he was very popular with kids. They thought, well, let's spin him off into a spin, into a separate series. And the clever thing there was, I think JNT was probably ahead of most people in the idea that you can market a product in another TV show, and it was actually a very successful pilot.
But it didn't turn into a series.
Was it never a series then, Samuel Payne?
Because apparently there was a power cut at the time when it was being watched, so appreciation figures were very, very high, but viewing figures were not as good as expected because of the power cut. So actually, it happened with the power cut.
We might be living in a different universe, a Trump universe.
Of course they brought back the Sarah Jane Adventures 20 years later. Back.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, that was, I never watched it, but I just like her. She's great. Dead now, sadly.
Oh, it was terribly sad when she died. I couldn't quite believe what I was seeing when she died.
It's very sudden as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. I remember seeing a headline, it might have been you actually, Sam, who texted me saying, the BBC is running a story that Elizabeth Sladen is dead. And my instant reaction was, that just cannot possibly be true.
Yeah.
And then it was. Dead. And then it was cancer. And you thought, well, goodness me, you know.
I think second time around, I think she had it before. And a lot of kids very, very upset by that. They had to deal with that in quite a big way with the PR there. Because, of course, she was a big name in children's TV.
Really upsetting.
Very saddening. And aside from K-9, I've got the toy here from 1977. It's a Dennis Fisher toy. Aside from him being kind of like a funky disco design...
He also wrote The Creature from the Pit.
I quite like the look of him. What annoys me in this show is how irritating K-9 actually is in K-9.
He's always irritating.
He's particularly
rubbish.
Irritating.
Oh, I don't know.
My precise meaning, mistress, a gift to you.
Oh, Doctor, you didn't forget...
Who is the Doctor?
Affirmative.
Is he just more irritating because Doctor Who isn't it?
The only thing that he does of any agency is fire his gun at people and kind of paralyse them.
Do we miss Doctor Who in this? Is this the problem?
I didn't actually. I didn't miss Doctor Who. I thought Sarah Jane did a good enough job of. I can. Your eyes are boring into me, like terrible lasers and canines and dick nose. I thought it was all right. It passed the time. I said he wasn't bored.
It's 15 minutes, though. It's not a long time to fill, really.
And there's so much crap in it. Like, you know, we talked really briefly about that couple who one is supposed to think are the devil worshippers because they're so fucking weird.
Yes, what was that all about? They're like red herring, which goes nowhere. So you have the oldish guy with the bald head and the older lady going... Well, you know, give her a ring, see if she wants to come round for dinner.
Permanently pissed.
This is Juno Baker. I'm a friend of your aunt's.
Oh, hello.
Hello, my dear. I heard you'd arrived. All's well, I hope.
Heavenly God, both of them.
Hi. Would you like to just come over?
So sorry.
Sarah does come over. Would you like to just come over for a drink?
I wondered if you'd like to come over for a drink a little later. That's if you're not too exhausted.
It was so bizarre that the scene cuts with the phone going on the hook and she turns around and she goes, she'll come.
She'll come.
Good.
Oh, she will.
Boy, that's never will she. Resolved. Ever resolved.
Well, they're just a couple of weirdo swingers, aren't they?
And at the end you see her in the end going, oh, darling, we just thought you were a bit shy. It is 1981.
Of course, my dear. Don't feel pressed. Just come if you feel like it.
And then fucking Aunt Lavinia, who's supposed to be captured in a box somewhere, she's on fucking holiday.
She's just a witless old bint.
That doesn't go anywhere either. Oh, I'm just very up to say I'm fine.
Sarah Jane is a Remainer. Lavinia is a Remainer. And then all the rest of them are stupid villagers of Brexiters, aren't they? So is
that what it's about?
Colin Abrams was also in House of Cards.
Really?
Yeah.
He's great.
He was the chief whip in House of Cards.
He is brilliant. I've seen him in lots of things. I like him a lot.
Jewish.
Was he one of the baddies at the end? Terence Dudley. Who directed it?
Terence Black.
Keeper Trarkin. It's the same director. Yeah. Ian Black.
Because it wasn't a very well
somebody black
directed episode. I didn't think
he wasn't black. He was white.
It was very hard to see. And was it with the woman from the post office? It was the main baddie.
I'm very friendly, so I am.
You just see a glance of her face, and that's it. And it's sort of could be anyone really.
Quite shocking the ending though, where they get Edward Woodward in that wicker man, sets it on fire.
Canine buzzes off his dick. Gun goes.
There's an actor in it I recognise. I know.
K9.
And it's the guy that's dressed as the punk that goes, it was a dog breathing fire.
I like that.
It's just ridiculous. That I know you. 5 years later, he was in Hellraiser as the guy who's ripped apart by Pinhead. He's the guy who worships the Hellraiser box.
You've never seen
Hellraiser.
It's rubbish, isn't it?
It's a great movie.
It's about AIDS.
Is it?
Hellraiser, beyond any terror you have imagined. A nightmare.
No.
Unlike anything you have witnessed. Is born. Because within these walls, the unholy is unleashed. Hellraiser. Film by Clive Barker.
We'll tear your soul apart.
It's by Clive Barker, so
gay. Yes.
He's I liked
gay.
Him in Dad's Army.
Doesn't like it up him.
No, exactly, yes.
Nobody does.
So it's the first Doctor Who spin-off, if we exclude the Doctor Who movies.
Doctor Who and the Pescatons. Audio spin-off.
Well, but it was part of Doctor Who canon.
Doctor Who and that one with Trevor Eve.
Mission to the Unknown.
Trevor, what was his name? The one who was in a play.
Oh, yeah. Trevor Baxter.
The Seven Keys to Doomsday with Trevor...
Trevor Nunn.
Trevor Baxter?
Trevor...
I don't know.
Not Trevor Baxter. He was he in Talons of Wang Chiang?
Yes, that was Christopher Benjamin.
Trevor Martin.
That's Trevor Martin. Trevor Martin.
I got there.
Yes. You're right.
I just say, I'm not using the Doctor Who reference guide.
We're having to do this slack. Drunk and sort of remember people's names. It's terrible.
So,
Peter Cushing.
No.
He was Doctor Who.
He wasn't in it.
That was a spin-off.
It was a spin-off, and I think it was okay, and I'm surprised it didn't get picked up as a series.
Well, J&T did a decent job. Eric Saywood was script editor.
Yes. I think it's largely accepted that between you two and probably the rest of the Doctor Who fraternity that is not very good.
That's okay.
I mean, very weak.
Did J&T and Liz Sladen fall out because of this?
They fell out at some point. I know that when I saw Liz Sladen at a Doctor Who convention years later, that she wasn't talking to J&T, and J&T certainly wasn't talking to her because he called her a bitch. I think it was more probably to do with something later because they worked together in The Five Doctors. So, and of course, K9 reappears in The Five Doctors.
K9! I think we're going to have to sing this later on, aren't we?
We have a promise later on that we had a great amount of feedback for our a cappella version of the Logopolis electric guitar solo.
We'll do K9 and
we're going
later.
To see that later because the music was, of course, scored by...
Oh, Jeff Lynne.
Ian Levine.
Who's Ian Levine?
He's the guy who salvaged the Daleks
the
day before the destruction. Yeah. The day before they destroyed it.
The day it was marked up and marked up.
Earmarked for destruction. The next day.
You thought it was rather dated, didn't you, Kane?
Yes, I did.
It was dated in 1981.
I was quite astonished that, you know, Brendan is dressed like a 1940s whip. It's very strange. I think, is this a 1981? Most young men didn't dress like that. And this is television produced by 60-year-old men.
Well, there was that. There was that teenager who was a bit like a gypsy.
Well, what did he look like?
He was dark, about 20, looked a bit like a gypsy.
He dressed a bit like a gypsy.
Did K-9 see you?
He did more than that. He clobbered him.
Oh, my God, I've forgotten that.
What, like David Essex?
The one with a leather jacket. It's
like, there are no many gypsies that look like that.
Yeah, you're right. It's by a 60-year-old man who thinks that's what teenagers dress like because they did in the 1950s.
Yeah.
He looks a bit like Alvin Stardust.
Why did they ask Terence Dudley to write it? I mean... Deadly Dudley.
He's not the best writer.
They could have got anyone else. It would have been better.
It could have been any script. They could have
Eric Saywood could have written it, like... Over the course of a weekend, it would have been better.
Yeah.
I liked
it. How do you think the series would have gone on? I mean,
it would have been terrible.
Triumph.
It would have been like fucking Torchwood, or, you know. It's just. It would have been terrible.
Okay. How many canines out of five do we give Canine and Company?
Four for me. I enjoyed it.
Four canines.
I'd had a couple of Baileys, though. Yeah.
Just one for you.
Just one.
I think maybe one canine and a half a tail.
One
and a half.
The tail is wagging the dog.
The title sequence alone is merits it five. So. Four for me. It's Christmassy. It's Christmassy before we withdraw.
Oh, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a happy...
Well, let's leave the bloody time-space visualiser.
Getting out of the time-space visualiser. Canine and Company hasn't done so well, but it was very popular with the Bailey family, so there you go. We're going to press on into a very, very special IF.
IF
stands for index file.
IF stands for index file.
Oh, everyone looks forward to this part of the podcast where you ask us some questions and we don't
Meanwhile, actually, Greg's brewed his third batch of Crowdens. And what's it called, Greg, this one?
Crowdens Christmas Ale.
Ah!
Crown's Christmas
Crank. Has it settled? Is it going to go?
It has travelled up from Kent, so it may be a little frothy.
And what's the percentile?
It's about 3.5. So it's Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. Face with mince pies as we speak.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd have a little IF, and the theme is literature. Doctor Who.
Ah.
Doctor Who. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And literature. So, without further ado, let's kick us off. Fingers on buzzers. Question one. Okay, so I'm going to read you a... This is how the whole thing's going to work. I'm going to read you a quote, which is from a Doctor Who story, that Doctor Who may or may not be saying, but the quote is from literature. So you have to tell me which Doctor Who story is this from, and also what is the literary reference. Yes.
A bit like the Little Women one from earlier.
Exactly.
This is one for our more intellectual fans.
I'm really tired.
Trump voters turn off right now.
Oh, dear.
Come on.
Dusty Death. Out.
It's Tom Baker.
Yes.
At the Cybermat in Revenge of the Cybermen.
Yes, it is. Correct. One point to Samuel Payne.
It's Shakespeare.
It is Shakespeare. 2 points to Samuel Payne. Which Shakespeare story?
Macbeth.
It is Macbeth, 1 point to Tom.
Yes, there we go.
The line is, "And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, brief candle." Question number two. So that's 2 points to Sam, one to Tom at the moment. Question number two, Carnival of Monsters. Tenniel Evans is reading that book. No, I want to read this book before we reach Bombay. We never find out really what book he's reading. But Doctor Who and Joe, played by Katie Manning, realise that they're on a ship and realise what the date is by reading which periodical?
Oh, God. The Times of London?
You're very close, Tom. Very close.
Times of India?
Do you want to vouchsafe a guess?
The Times?
It's the Illustrated London News. Question number three. Which Doctor Who story is this a quote from? And the second part of the question is, what is the literary reference? "He who outlives this day and comes safe home shall stand a tiptoe when this day is named and rouse him in the name of eSpace."
Henry V.
Correct, Tom.
Which Doctor Who story? Well, I imagine it'll be something like...
It's going to be one
Gate
from the trilogy... Is it State of Decay?
It's State of Decay. Yes. Yeah, 1 point each there. Who is Doctor Who describing?
I once knew a boy like you. Never said a word. Very taciturn. There's no point in talking if you've nothing to say.
Is it Peter Davison?
I've no idea. I'm afraid I don't know the literary reference. I don't know.
No. Okay. It's Doctor Who describing Shakespeare in City of Death.
Of course, yes.
In The Talons of Wang Chiang, Tom Baker says,
there's a green-eyed yellow idol to the north of Kathmandu.
Yes.
There's a little silver cross beneath the town. And then he wakes up and he says, Harry Champion, 1920. Harry Champion did not write The Green Eye of the Little Yellow God. Who did write The Green Eye of the Little Yellow God?
H. Rider Haggard, maybe? Or
close.
H.G. Wells?
Stevenson?
It was J. Milton Hayes.
Oh, I didn't know.
No points really. There. In the Doctor Who story, The Terror of the Vervoids.
I like this, actually. I'm not getting it very right, but I'm quite enjoying
done.
It.
Okay.
He's done
well
very well, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's very kind, because you've been very cruel about
that. But it's Christmas, so we'll be kind to you.
It's nice, the rest nice of to hear that.
Fucking awful. But this one's all right.
But in the Doctor Who story, Doctor Who and the Terror of the Vervoids,
oh, yes.
Form part of the Trial of a Time Lord series, script edited by Eric Saward. Doctor Who describes Mel as being like the elephant's child. Mel says, never mind with the just-so stories, Doctor. Who wrote
Rudyard Kipling.
Correct.
I leapt in because I could see the
you saw it coming.
Paleo's
in
eyes
exactly
flickering.
The same story, so also in Doctor Who and the Terror of the Vervoids, Doctor Who walks into the empty reception area and says, is anybody there? Said the Traveller. A poem by who?
Oh, it's a poem.
Oh,
or name the poem.
Coleridge?
Coleridge. Name the poem, or the author of the poem, the poet. Oxford, you're out of time. It's The Listeners by Walter de la Mare. A hit. A very palpable
Hamlet.
Hit. Which Doctor Who story is that? Does that line appear in?
It's a Pertwee.
A hit. It is.
It's a Pertwee.
A hit. A very palpable hit.
It's a Pertwee.
He's drinking, Day of the Daleks?
Close.
Death to the Daleks.
Yes, yes, yes.
Day of the Daleks.
You were so close there.
Oh.
By the pricking of my thumb, something wicked this way comes.
Well, that's Macbeth again, isn't it?
It is. Which Doctor Who story does it appear in?
I'm thinking.
I don't know, no idea.
I know the scene. Is it...
Excuse me.
God, because the companion is being quite obstinate while it's being said.
I'm going to have to hurry you.
I know, I can see it by...
Come on, Warwick.
Hull University.
Guess.
Is it Troughton?
No. Time's out. It's Robots of Death.
Jolly good.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Question number 10. It's a far, far better thing that I
Colin
do.
Baker.
Now, we
Tale
all
of
know
Two
that,
Cities.
We all know exactly.
We both know what this is.
But which Dickens character?
Sidney Poitier.
Carlton.
I'll give you both a point, because Tom said Sidney and you said
And
Carlton.
It's the best thing that Colin Baker's ever done in Doctor Who. That's his best line.
Okay, so this question to win it.
To win it, but Tom's well ahead.
Tom's about...
Well, let's create some tension, come on.
Tom's about a point ahead. H.G. Wells, so everything to play for.
Yes.
Last question. H.G. Wells travelled with Doctor Who.
Time
as played by... Yes, we know that. Yeah. This part
sorry.
Of the question.
Beg your pardon, sorry.
In Doctor Who, played by Colin Baker, in the BBC television series Time Lash, which book did H.G. Wells publish in 1909 that was scandalous because of the feminist sensibilities of the heroine?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Tunabongo? I don't know.
Not the War of the Worlds, because that's not got a feminine heroine.
No, it was Anne Veronica.
Oh, never heard of it.
Okay. Well, there was a musical of that name as well. So totting up the scores, Tom has 7, Samuel finishes with 5.
Thank
so
you very much. Well done, Tom. Well done, Tom.
Well, I feel good about that. That's something, at last something I know something about.
Reasons to be cheerful.
Thank you, Greg. That was a great quiz.
Welcome.
Good IF.
We're moving from happier times into reasonably happy times, because we put out a message to everybody, because we have a competition. And the competition is to win a signed picture of Tom Baker.
Peoples of the universe, please attend carefully. The message that follows is vital to the future of you all.
didn't know anything about this. I was going to enter this competition myself.
Well, you can apply.
Why are we giving away such an esteemed prize?
This isn't Corbyn's Britain. You're allowed to apply. So some of the questions we got through were fairly interesting, and I'm going to get them up now. So the first question we
Sam's got it up.
Sam's getting it up. His stand
is
up.
First question we've got is from Matthew Ross.
Hello, Matthew.
Hello, Matthew. And the question that Matthew Ross.
Is he hot?
Is he Scottish? We've had trouble with the Scotch.
The Glaswegians, you have to call.
All right, sure.
But you have problems with Glaswegians as well.
Well, they're all bloody socialists, aren't they?
Yeah, well, pressing on. So Matthew Ross says, which season of Doctor Who would be the worst to have a Christmas-themed story in? Imagine a Christmas story in Trial. Christ, that sounds awful. May I just say that Trial of a Time Lord is based on A Christmas Carol?
It is, yeah.
So, I suppose it is. Yeah. Rather interesting.
And Horns of Nymon is sort of considered future. A Christmas pantomime.
Because it's just so
season 17 is purely
so what,
Christmas.
What season of Doctor Who would it be?
Worst Christmas themes.
I don't think you can have
I
a bad.
Yeah, I don't know. Because it would liven up a Davison.
It would be brilliant. I suppose anything that is the best season of Doctor Who anyway, and to sort of stuff a Christmas one in there would be irrelevant. But I think anything is livened up with a bit of festive fun.
I'd argue it already exists, and the worst Christmas-themed episode is the one they rammed into Dalek's Master Plan, which...
Oh, no!
Which was never actually... Lovely. The reason why we know that definitely doesn't exist is because they didn't circulate that episode when they sold it overseas.
Right.
They cut it out entirely.
Oh, gosh.
So that's probably technically the worst in terms of it never got seen outside of the UK.
But the assumption is that Christmas episodes are bad. I love a Christmas episode.
Oh, you must love the Russell T Davies in.
Well, yeah.
There's plenty of tinsel in Time Lash.
There is.
There is, yes.
So maybe that's the Christmas special.
But you can't... Anything that you put to a Colin Baker scene can't make it any worse, can it? So I think a Tom Baker, it must be a Tom. Well, I don't
it's
know.
An interesting
Matthew
question,
Ross, it's a very complicated question.
It's
Matthew
it
Ross, you're far
that,
too intellectual
that,
for me.
That being festive would make it worse.
Yes, I don't agree with that.
Necessarily would.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Matthew.
That's an entirely relevant answer to your brilliant question. So.
Left of centre, yes. Yeah. But thank you for the question.
We've got a question from Conrad Slater, who's one of our followers on Twitter.
Yes.
A very, very jovial Conrad. Fellow. Conrad's from the Channel Islands.
A Jersey man.
I think he's from Jersey. Yeah,
a Jersey man, Jewish Jehovah's Witness.
So it's quite likely
that... spent his childhood milking cows.
Well, quite likely we're related.
Yes.
If stay tuned was JNT's catchphrase, what are the other producers' catchphrases? That'll do for Williams.
Yes, very good. Yes.
What are the catchphrases for the other producers?
Barry Letts would just be
That would be Barry Letts.
I'm a baby. I think John Wiles is, I'm done with this.
Ain't nobody got time for this. Who else have we got? Innes Lloyd. What would he have said? Get me Pat Troughton. Derek Sherwin would have been like, only stay 1 year. That would have been his.
Don't hang around.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. JNT is like the master of Doctor Who producers.
A catchphrase. So many catchphrases.
There's so many others, you know. Like, let's make magic.
Have you ever had two in you?
We've got a question here, and this is something we need to touch upon urgently. Now, Tom did a wonderful voice for Milton Subotsky.
Oh, yes.
Milton Subotsky, how you doing? Me Sidney Newman here, he's an asshole.
Out of nowhere, we've now got a Twitter personality called Milton Subotsky 3. Who
whoever
posts,
you are, we adore you.
We don't know who you are, but please tell us who you are.
I assumed it's either one of you two or me.
But yeah,
I thought it was you.
We all deny it's each other. So.
It could be. Yeah.
The wonderful thing is he has this wonderful Twitter feed, Milton Subotsky 3.
The third, I assume.
The third. And everything's in capitals. And this is his question.
Which Doctor Who should be remade as a big screen blockbuster now that Skyfire is all the rage?
Are you sure this isn't you, Tom?
No, but it's wonderful to be honoured with a Twitter feed.
Yes.
The character that's basically based on Harvey Weinstein. I don't know. Yes, it was a good idea.
Also, W.C. Fields, it's very like that as well. Oh, sorry.
How about the mind robber? Get the mind robber on the big screen. It makes no sense whatsoever.
There's a little bit of Lou Grade in there.
Yeah. All the sort of the... Yeah.
Get it made! We want J.K. Rowling on screen.
You want to know what the success for the Saint is? It's Roger Moore!
So should we try and answer the question?
Yes. What was the question?
It's got to be Ghostlight! Those kids love it! It makes perfect sense to me! That crazy dude in his sideboards! That'll be Roy Castle! Get Roy Castle on the phone right now!
I say make Colony in Space!
I think it's probably The Chase, which they were going to originally do. That was going to be the third Dalek movie, wasn't it? So it's probably that one.
Yeah.
He's got part two of his question.
Do you have the Rhino's agent's number?
And number three is,
unless it's Nation, he hasn't sent me a Christmas card in years!
So thank you very much, Milton Subotsky 3.
Keep it going.
We have a question from Jason Yates.
Jason,
who was the winner of our last competition. Jason says, which would you delete from the world forever? Either Nyssa's leaving scene or Bonnie Langford's first scene?
Well, the problem with
that, there's more to this, he says, discuss in detail.
Well, I'm not sure we've got time to discuss in huge detail, Jason, but I certainly wouldn't delete Nyssa's leaving scene because she would never leave.
That's true.
She'd still be in Doctor Who right now.
And also, she took a skirt off.
She took her knickers off, didn't she?
Well, yes. I mean, Peter Davison was clearly aroused in that scene.
There's no need to have Mel's first scene in, because then if she didn't have that first scene, then you wouldn't have her.
Actually, her first scene is Terror of the Vervoids, isn't it? Where Doctor Who is on an exercise bike. Doctor Who, played by fat Colin Baker on an exercise bike.
Anything
23,
with
24, 25, 26, 27.
I am Lord President of Gallifrey.
Sooner when I start to pray.
Counting how many cakes he's had that morning.
So maybe he's asking which is the worst scene. Either that scene from Terror of the Vervoids or Nyssa's leaving scene. I think it's Terror of the Vervoids, I have to say, is worse.
It's outrageous. And it's got Mel Gidrick.
And you can tell Colin's never been on an exercise bike because he doesn't know what he's doing. And
is he going backwards?
And it's almost like, with Colin in Terror of the Vervoids, it's almost like, how can we make the costume even worse?
Colin's gone from Colin Baker to Pantomime Dame.
Yeah, hideous. No, let's get rid of that. Let's keep Nyssa's leaving scene because thank Christ she leaves.
Yes, that's true.
And the last question I've got is from Julie Hargreaves.
Hello, Julie.
And she asks, nice which you. One would you sleep with first out of the menagerie? That's a tough one.
Which one would I sleep with first?
Yeah.
So it's either Greg or Sam. Well, it'd have to be Greg. He knows what he's doing. He knows his onions when it comes to arseholes. I don't want a ranked novice.
I'd go with a threesome.
Hedging your bets there. You don't want to offend anyone, Sam.
I think I'd play it safe with a sock and move on. So, out of those questions that we took out of the hat, which one is going to win the signed picture?
It's
going to
be Julie Hargreaves.
Oh, Julie, well done!
Yeah. Well done, Julie. Well done,
you filthy animal.
Which one of the menagerie do you most want to shag? Tell us on Twitter.
It's not happening.
Let us know. We're moving on to the annual moment where we talk about people we've lost this year. And ye gads.
Have people died this year?
It seems to be the de rigueur to be dead this year.
It's a very fashionable year to pass away.
Yeah, everyone's about it. But Norris McWhirter.
Torres, who?
Norris McWhirter hasn't died this year, but it's one of the few that hasn't.
Tom Baker got through it.
He did.
Roger Moore.
We're recording this.
Roger Moore got through it.
A few days left, so you never know.
David Cameron.
Yes, thank goodness. What a great man he was. He really helped.
David Attenborough.
Yes, he's not dead. Should we talk about the people that have died?
So this is where we bring in the music and we talk about the sad, sad loss of some people that we've lost this year, related to Doctor Who in some way.
Graham Crowden.
Or another.
Graham Crowden went this year.
Victoria Wood.
Yes, she died.
Technically, yes.
She
used to wear pumps.
And what was the connection to Doctor Who for Victoria Wood?
The Great Sorprendo played Syl.
She was in a skit, wasn't she?
She was in a skit with who?
With Jim Broadbent.
Henry did a skit too. And he hasn't died.
No.
So
he got a knighthood this year.
Make of that of what you will.
Sir Leonard of Henry.
Paul Daniels passed away this year.
Dead now.
Yes.
Paul Daniels used to shoulder Doctor Who in the schedules.
Oh, these links are terribly tenuous.
Here's a good one.
I liked him in Quadrophenia.
Yes, he was very good there.
Terry Wogan. He died.
Oh, Sir right. Terry Wogan.
Yes, he also wasn't in Doctor
Who. Our nobody.
The third celebrity that's died. It hasn't
what
been in
What have
Doctor.
You done with
what?
Doctor Who?
What have you... Oh, here he is. It's Colin Baker, incumbent Doctor Who.
The new Doctor Who. What have you done with
Doctor Who? We're big fans of that. And also Children in Need. Introducing Marianne Ford.
Yeah. Mark Strickson.
No, you're Richard Franklin's. And Colin Baker and... John Pertwee, my favourite Doctor Who. Sorry, Colin.
Sam's wonderful accent is not the only thing that he has with, in common with Terry Baker. What's his name?
Terry
Wogan.
Terry Jones.
Terry Wogan.
It's the hair, of course. Oh, Samuel yeah, Payne has you. Terry Wogan's hair.
So, some more deaths from the Doctor
also, Who. Actually, Samuel Payne's hair is all
him,
his
looking
own.
Looking at him now, he looks like Terry Wogan on his first day presenting at Radio 2.
In 1968.
Yeah, he does.
Hello.
Get a photo, Greg.
Hello there. Other people that have passed away. Johnny Dennis. Does anybody know who Johnny Dennis is?
I liked him in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes, he was very good, yes. No, who was he? Was
Johnny
he the band
Dennis.
With, from the good old days?
Close. Johnny Dennis was the bus driver in Delta and the Bannermen.
Oh, ah, right, yes.
The 1950s. Oh, yeah. With the yeah, the yeah. Grannis. Yeah.
He
yeah.
was our Bowie.
He died this year. I know.
Sadder than Derek Berry.
I had a week of mourning for her. I kept playing all his old hits. Johnny Dennis, rewinding that bus scene.
I know.
Weeping into like... my mulligatawny.
Ken Grieve.
Of course, he was a director of Doctor Who, wasn't he?
Density of the Daleks.
Yes,
it was, yes.
So, Ken Grieve died this year. Loosely related to Doctor Who, Gareth Thomas.
Yes, we mentioned
homosexual rugby player.
Yeah.
No. Curly-haired Welshman.
Oh.
Who was in Blake's Seven.
Oh.
Well, sad to hear
he
that.
Played Blake. He passed away. You brought this on everybody. Robert Banks Stewart.
I did.
Yeah, your fault. Yeah.
He wrote The Seeds of Doom, which starred Tony Beckley. And also, was it Zygons?
Yes, he
wrote?
Did, yeah.
He did.
With Scott.
Dead now. Both scored by Jeffrey Bergen.
Yeah, beautiful music, actually.
Also dead. He also scored Brideshead Revisited. Check that out.
John Rollison, who I didn't know who that was until fairly recently, and we now know what he looks like because he was in The Web of Fear as a journalist all the way through that. He passed away this year.
He later formed his own group, the Rollinson Stones.
Yes, they gathered in Moss.
Adrienne Corrie.
Yes, an old lady.
Yes.
A woman has died.
A
she
woman?
Was in Leisure's
she was in,
Hive.
What was she? Yes, there was it. Leisure's oh, yeah, with Hive. Her with the hair. The orange hair.
Her with her. Her. Yeah. In the Leisure Hive.
Sad.
R.A.P. Adrienne Corrie. Reg Whitehead.
Who?
Anybody
the
know
original,
who Reg Whitehead
the original
was?
Clipper man, wasn't he? He was one of the Cybermen.
More than that, the original hand of the Cyberman.
He was the Hand of Fear.
The Hand of the Cyberman. In the
oh,
first,
in that episode.
The Tenth Planet. And he also played many other monsters as well. Bert Kwok.
Yes, he died.
Do you know who Bert Kwok is?
Yes, of course we know who Bert Kwok is.
Tell me who Bert Kwok was.
He was in Harry Hill an awful lot, and he was Cato, and he was... What was it? He was in...
Master of Summer Wine.
He was Enlightenment, was it?
James Bond. He was in James Bond films.
He was a James Bond, wasn't he? Yes.
Yes, he was the
he
best
played
James
Bond. In 1987.
He was in two Connery films as Japanese. William Lucas, Frontius.
Huh? Never heard of him.
Oh, yeah, and he replaced Peter Arne, who was murdered. By
hell,
a homosexual
really?
Lover. It's
oh,
true.
Yes,
Peter Arne was a gay actor. He was in one of the Pink Panther movies, but he was murdered shortly prior to production for Frontiers. He'd literally been cast in the role of whatever it was that William Lucas played. Was it Squire or something like that? So William Lucas was a very, literally a last-minute replacement. He'd had no rehearsals, nothing.
And now the horny hand of death has caught up with him too.
Well, yeah.
Not murdered, I hope.
32 years later, but no, he wasn't a homosexual or murdered, I don't think.
In that case, I don't really care.
He might have been a homosexual, I don't know.
Steve Dillon, comic
yes,
strip artist.
Slumdark.
That's right. He was very young. He was only in his 50s.
Yeah,
so he
shortly
died.
Shortly after winning the Nobel Prize for...
Literature.
Oh, no, that was Bob Dylan.
Oh, God.
Well deserved.
Shut up.
Fuck off. There's no souls and eats in.
What is the world coming
Jesus
to?
Christ.
We've got a few more to do. Michael Leader.
Who next? The Katie Hopkins Award for Peace?
Michael Leader was in a lot of EastEnders. He's also an extra in Doctor Who many times. But most famously, he's the stormtrooper in Star Wars who bangs his head in the door when he walks through.
Good.
So Michael Leader. And finally, Alec Weil. But I wanted to end on Alec Weil. because we've come full circle.
Oh, yes, very good.
Alec Wheel was, sorry, the senior cameraman for Doctor Who from the late 70s right up to the end. And Peter Davison paid a very moving and understated tribute to Alec Wheel.
Sounds like Davo.
That senior cameraman, Alec Wheel, was the rock of the studio recordings of Doctor Who, both during my time and throughout the 70s and 80s. We developed an understanding so that in those moments of panic, as the clock ticked to 10 p.m, the end result was always as good as it was.
Well, there you go.
Thank you, Peter Davison. For
you
that
did
wonderful.
A really good job.
So that's all the people that have died.
Sad. Well, someone's got to
also
die.
Ronnie Corbett.
Yep.
Who else?
That's it. Ronnie Barker.
Derek Bowie.
Derek Nimmo.
Alec Rickman.
I needed the toilet.
Peter Vaughan.
John Glenn. Peter Vaughan.
John Glenn. Not the director of James Bond.
No, the other one. The one who landed on the moon in 1971.
Christopher Lee.
Who's a James Bond villain. Robert Vaughan, the last of the Magnificent Seven. Did you know that every single one of the Magnificent Seven is now deceased?
We're going to press on with something which sums up how wonderful life is in terms of music,
sex,
optimism, sex, beauty, opportunity,
food,
hope,
and glory.
Hope.
Knickerbocker glory.
Oh, and it's one thing
I
that
would as well.
We've been asked for a long time.
Your glass will overflow.
A Coke float.
But before we do that, we need to really just let K9 lead us into this great tune that we're going to sing for you at Christmas time.
Written by Sir Edward Elgar.
You wish we a merry... reject. We wish you a merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Brendan, stop honking.
K9. K9.
I wondered if you'd like to come over for a drink a little later. It's very romantic. Don't feel pressed. Just come if you feel like it. But this is 1981. Just come if you feel like it.
K9.
But this is 1981.
K9. Brendan, stop honking.
If you enjoyed listening to that twaddle, you can follow us on Twitter at DW Menagerie. That's at DW Menagerie, and we'll be tweeting various photographs of our inside leg measurements and that sort of thing.
Doctor Who is copyright of the BBC. No infringements on copyright are intended. Support Doctor Who by purchasing DVDs and CDs and all other media from the BBC. Any comments made by the complete menagerie, almost, are all our own.
You've been listening to a Sixth Floor production.